From the assembled bids, Costa chose the Venetian construction company Saccaim, an outfit well accustomed to operating in the difficult environment of Venice. Saccaim had worked on a great many important Venetian buildings, including Palazzo Grazzi and the Malibran Theater. Nor was it a stranger to the Fenice. Saccaim had been the principal contractor for the renovation in progress the night the Fenice burned. In early March 2002, after a hiatus of 11 months, Mayor Costa erected a large digital clock outside the Fenice to keep the workers and the public informed of the number of days remaining until Saccaim's November 30, 2003 deadline. When Saccaim took physical possession of the Fenice on March 11, the clock read 630 days. The count was down to 614 when I put on a hard hat and joined Laura Migliori in the Dante room. It had been 2 years since she had first taken a look at the blackened walls, but only 2 weeks since she had been able to begin work. She and her assistants had already removed the overlay of mud and soot from the frescoes. Now, with further treatment, they would erase some of the deeper stains and bring out the colors. In 5 of the 6 panels, only fragments of the frescoes remained. However, 2/3 of the Inferno panel had survived. There were 3 figures in the foreground. A man in a red robe was fully intact, but only the lower halves of the other 2 were left. "I'm pretty sure the one in red is Dante," said Laura. "And we think one of the others is Virgil. When we do color testing, we hope to find out which. We'll be looking for traces of green, because he wore a laurel wreath." Much of the work on the Fenice would be completed away from the site and then brought to the theater to be installed. Guerino Lovato, the owner of the Mondonovo mask shop, had been hired to make the models for all the 3-dimensional ornaments for the theater hall. He rented a magazzino across the street from his shop to use as a studio, where he would sculpt the clay models for the satyrs, nymphs, sylphs, caryatids, angels, animals, flowers, vines, leaves, lattices, shells, horns, scrolls, suns, moons, masks, swags, and swirls that would adorn the parapets of the boxes and the walls and ceiling of the theater. From his originals, sculpted in clay, his assistants would make the negative plaster molds in which ornaments would be cast in papier-mâché and plaster by craftsmen in Mogliano. His assistants would make positive molds to be copied by woodcarvers in Vicenza. To make sure that the ornaments would fit snugly onto the curving contours of the theater, which did not yet exist, Lovato checked his work against a full-size model of half the theater that had been erected in a warehouse in Marghera. Laura Migliori and her 2 assistants would have to restore the Inferno frescoes right where they were, in the midst of workmen putting large structural elements in place, installing air conditioning ducts and electrical cables, and carrying out such other tasks as painting, plastering, welding, soldering, applying gold leaf, and laying floors of terrazzo and parquet. She would be working, in other words, surrounded by chaos. And happily. "We all have a feeling of exhilaration," she said. Her efforts, like those of everyone else, would be part of an attempt to recreate the Fenice as it was designed after the 1836 fire, so that, as the architect Giambattista Meduna put it at the time, "no part will be diminished in flamboyance, and those who see it will say that the magnificence of the decorations of Versailles are no more splendid." As to whether the former opulence, magnificence, and flamboyance could be regained, Laura Migliori would say only, "We've made a start. We've got the mud off."